This is GKW. Welcome to another edition of Good Karma Wrestling post-WrestleMania. Again, we had a lot of great content going on throughout the course of WrestleMania. Our guy, Brian Roach, who's not on the show today, he was out there. So make sure you go check out everything that we posted. We had live shows. Brian's got some different interviews that he did at all the different shows. Check out our YouTube page. Comment, subscribe, youtube.com/@GoodKarmaWrestling. I'm Gabe Neitzel from ESPN Milwaukee. He's Jonathan Hood from ESPN 1000 in Chicago. And again, Raw after WrestleMania, I think, has lost a little bit of its luster because, like, I feel the Paige return, and she ended up having to be a part of that because of an injury. Those big returns now happen at Mania versus on the Raw after. So you get a couple of call-ups, like we had Ethan Page come up, but it just doesn't have the oomph, I think, that it once used to. But it did start off. It kicked off with Obafemi coming down, saying it's his world now. Very short, very sweet promo. How do we think that Obafemi, after defeating Brock Lesnar, and again, there seems to be some, looks like Brock could actually be retired. Obafemi be booked in WWE for the next handful of months?
So, Gabe, I just think it's no really long sustained rivalries. I think it's some big wins against some mediocre contenders to build up a resume, because there's some people that have not seen Obafemi wrestle in NXT. They saw him wrestle in WWE for, what, a handful of matches? So yeah. I just think the resume can be built. Not necessarily getting a middle-of-the-road title. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying getting some big wins, no long-time rivalries, and just continuing his momentum into taking on Cody or Roman for the World Championship at SummerSlam. I think that's on the table.
I think that should be on the table. And the direction that they eventually went, again, I don't know if Randy eventually wins or how that's going to work out, because Randy didn't come out on Monday. Cody did, and it seemed like we were getting a Cody versus CM Punk tease there. Mm-hmm. So I'm curious what the direction is, but I agree. I think sooner or later, which SummerSlam is probably the soonest that they would do it, go past the U.S. title, go past the Intercontinental title. I don't think we need to be booking you for some mid-card. I think we need to be strapping a rocket onto the back here and have you – And again, it's going to be interesting, because I think you have to do, like you said, a couple of matches, maybe a couple of squashes still, and try to build up the resume. I don't know if there's Matt Cardona in there, or I'm trying to think of, like, the guy they used to always use was Dolph Ziggler. Like, oh, he's a former world champion, and he would be like the former world champ that somebody like this would face. I don't necessarily know who that guy is right now, former world champ that Oba could beat on his way. Like, there are rumors about Drew McIntyre might be done now with WWE. Who the hell knows? Like, he could fit into that. But I just don't know who would fit the criteria of former world champ that Oba could go over on his way to the top of beating Roman or Cody at SummerSlam.
So here's what you and I need to do. We'll simplify it by saying Oba needs to take on some Rusev-level contenders and then move on from there, right? Like I said, it doesn't have to be a 3-4 month run with someone. You don't need that. He just needs wins. And just remember, just like Hogan back in the day and just like Goldberg, you don't want him to be in deep waters going 15, 20-minute matches. As a matter of fact, Trick Williams can learn from that. I thought that, Trick and Sami Zayn had a good match, but people just want the entrance. They want to have that big high knee, a couple of moves here or there, and out of there. Same thing with Oba. If they're booking him like Goldberg, then these should be 6 minutes or less matches against, like I said, Rusev level guys, and then that catapults him to the next level.
Yeah, I guess I've just been trying to rack my, like, Jay Uso. Like, is Jay the last one he beats to go, oh, I beat a former world champ, now I'm ready to go and take on one of these other guys that's at the top? But yeah, I'm 100% there with you. And Oba might be able to go longer. Doesn't need to, though. Like, you keep that in your back pocket for when you absolutely need it, maybe for one of those title matches at SummerSlam. But the run to there doesn't have to be long matches. You know, it can be, oh, he's in peril for a moment, then, oh, wait, he's this big, strong badass, and he's just going to powerbomb you, and that's going to be it.
So, Gabe, the 1A to that question is, who would you rather for Oba to take on? Is it Cody or is it Roman? Because he could take Cody out quickly. And I don't know that's the direction. We heard Roman Reigns after he won the world championship in that press conference say, hey, you know, I hear all these OVA chants. Let's see how he does through the spring into the summer. So I don't know what match is best. I just know that you catch lightning in a bottle like you did with Goldberg. If the fans are all into him, if we're into him, then you put the rocket ship on his back and you give him the World Heavyweight Championship. That's just how it works in wrestling. Sometimes you just get something that you didn't expect in the booking room, right? They liked Obafemi. We liked Obafemi. We talked about him ad nauseum on the show. But the way the fans are giving him the treatment, man, talking about like the Hogan treatment, the roars from the crowd when he comes out, if that's the case, then he should be World Heavyweight Champion. He's that over.
I think it's Roman, because I think Roman's still, like, for all the QB1, all that, like, Roman's still the top guy in the company.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I think that he's still the top guy. Plus, A, who knows how much longer Roman's going to be around, right? In terms, I'm just talking about, like, long-term big picture, because he's already kind of transitioned to being that part-time guy. And I know he said in his, you know, after WrestleMania, hey, none of this part-time champion stuff. I'm going to be around quite a bit. Better get used to me.
Yeah.
But if we get to SummerSlam, seems like the perfect time for him to drop that title to Oba, because then Roman can kind of go and disappear for, you know, the first part of fall into winter, and then start coming back for, you know, Survivor Series and any sort of, you know, sort of build that you want for the Royal Rumble. And I think that would work for Roman. Again, I don't know what Roman's career aspirations are. If he wants to make a transition to Hollywood the way that his cousin did, the way that John Cena obviously now has, and if that's an ambition of his, then yeah, that makes a ton of sense. But if he's going right now, Oba versus Roman, that's night two of SummerSlam up in Minneapolis, and that's a changing of the guard moment.
Do you realize that you and I, that cover sports on a daily basis, do you realize that sports is actually more truthful than wrestling? Because Roman Reigns will say, "I'm this whole part-time stuff. I'm going to be around a lot more, and I'm going to be wrestling." He could be, which you could have had that scenario of Roman Reigns losing to Obafemi, and he does go away, or he comes back. At least in sports, we know the contracts, and we know the teams that they're on. At least we have a track record of understanding, like, the storylines in sports every day that we cover. Wrestling, you just never know. Like, the Brock thing, the Oba thing, the Rumble, we have no idea.
But the contracts are like soccer matches. Yeah, this is where how long it's supposed to be, but we can just arbitrarily add time on at the end, and nobody really knows how long the game is, right? Like that's what wrestling contracts are, because they can just add time for missing with injury, or, you know, like in Jericho's case, like in AEW, oh, he missed a bunch of time because he was touring with Fozzy. They could add time if they wanted to for that. Like, you can just add time onto these contracts for whatever reason you want.
Yeah, it's just so strange. Like, Roman says he's going to be around. And by the way, Raw or SmackDown is better when Roman's on it. That whole thing that we saw in the ring with the Usos, being in the ring with Roman, and that whole stare down with Jacob Fatu, which we'll talk about later on, just to have him on the TV, the crowd just loves that guy. There's QB1, but there's Roman, and there's a big difference between the two.
Yeah, Roman's still the guy. And that's, again, I think that's who, again, it's, I know they're pretending, and they did this like tearful goodbye with Rhea going off to SmackDown with EO. Because WWE actually cares about their champions being Cody's supposed to be on SmackDown. He showed up on Monday Night Raw, has been showing up on Monday Night Raw. We don't really care. Our WWE doesn't really care about the brand split. I think that's why they're not doing a draft again, because they know the whole thing is just farcical. But you know, Oba's on Raw, looks like Roman's on Raw. It just makes the most sense to kind of build that as your main event for SummerSlam. Continue to build Oba, continue to build him up, and you'll get him on the level of Roman like that. Roman puts him over, and we've got a new champ going into the fall. That's the way I think you would. But you had mentioned it. We dive into it. It's number one in the three count this week. The other top three stories in the world of professional wrestling is Jacob Fatu. The right choice for Roman Reigns at Backlash. You mentioned the segment that closed out Monday Night Raw. Looked like the Bloodline getting back together with Roman and the Usos, but Jacob Fatu comes out to challenge Roman Reigns at Backlash in Tampa.
Okay, so Gabe, let's do a list here of possible contenders for Roman, and you tell, and then we'll go right back to the top and say, does Fatu deserve the opportunity? So if I was to pitch to you for Backlash, Roman against LA Knight. Would you like that?
It's fine.
Just fine, right? That's like a four on a 10.
Mm-hmm. It's fine. Yeah.
Okay. What if I gave you like Roman against the returning Kevin Owens?
Oh, that's a 10 out of 10 because there's so much history between Roman, especially with the bloodline reforming. Like, there's a ton of history of Kevin Owens versus bloodline. Ton of history there. That's like a 10 out of 10 for me.
Okay, so we got Kevin Owens ahead of Jacob Fatu at this time. If I gave you Roman Braun Breaker, what would you say to that?
I mean, now. I'm interested in the match. Like, overall, right now, it doesn't make sense because, like, Seth Rollins is taking on the Vision and Braun Breaker and all that. So it would be like, it would make me question of, okay, what else is going on? Because he's got a very clear direction, and to pivot him away from that to presumably eat a pin at Backlash doesn't make a ton of sense.
All right. I'll give you another name. And I'm just giving you like names of middle of the road to top guys. So I'll give you Finn Balor. Does that make sense against Roman Reigns? Would you want to see that match?
I would. Yes, I would. And I think it would make sense because Finn's kind of done with the Judgment Day, or maybe the Judgment Day decides they're not done and they come back and they cost Finn or whatever during that match. But I think as Finn, as a former world champ, has made it very clear he wants to get back on that path. Again, I don't know if he ever becomes a world champ again. Honestly, don't. But I think it would make sense storyline-wise that, hey, I'm done with that. I've got my eyes on this.
Demon would beat his ass. Finn, probably not. can I interest you in a Gunther Roman match?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Now, the reason why we bring up these names, not saying that these guys would take on Roman anytime soon, don't even know in the next 6 months, but you gave me something that's intriguing in Kevin Owens and Roman Reigns. Now, you ask, well, why Jacob Fatu? It did come out of nowhere, actually.
Yeah.
Because it was Jacob Fatu going in there and saying that, I don't want that title. And I was thinking, well, what are you there for? And he paused, he goes, I need that title. Like, oh, okay. Okay. All right. Because otherwise, I didn't know what you were in there for. I don't want the title. Okay, well, then what do you – I was thinking, well, do you want to be part of this new bloodline?
Yeah.
Are you going to throw up the ones? Like, what's happening here? But no, he wants the championship. Okay, great. I think we all respect Jacob Fatu, but the question is, like, why now? You know you're going to lose to Roman, and it looks like the Usos will be on Roman's side. So why are you doing this now when I can get healthy Kevin Owens if he's ready to take on Roman Reigns? That'd be interesting. More interesting to me.
It would, but also I'm fine with this because Roman's not dropping the title at Backlash. Like, right. We all know it. You know, we all know he's not dropping that title. This is, again, AJ Styles has been that guy before, right? Where, oh, former world champion, highly respected, going to do the job, put the guy over. But like AJ Styles, it kind of felt like toward the end of his career was falling into the, oh, he's going to be the first feud for somebody after they just won a championship, right? Like, kick off that feud with a win over a former world champion, kind of like we were talking about with Dolph Ziggler earlier, of being that, you know, that guy that you could get over and kind of help build somebody up. Jacob Fatu is not going to win this, but also, like, he just beat, you know, Drew McIntyre. That was kind of a blood feud, you know, after WrestleMania. So what's next for him? I think the world championship, he hasn't really been around that picture. So for him to get the first crack at Roman fall, I think it's a nice little litmus test of, all right, you're going to be in the main event of Backlash, man. How do you handle it? How do you handle that as a performer? How do you handle that as Jacob Fatu going up against Roman Reigns? And so is it the most exciting thing? No, but like Kevin Owens being a 10 out of 10 for me, I would also hope that that would happen later because I kind of hope Kevin Owens eventually gets one over on Roman Reigns in the bloodline because they had gotten over onto him so many times over the years. And I like Kevin Owens. I would love to see him be a world champion again. You always know, again, at least in this era of wrestling, that whoever that first feud is, very rarely are they going to be the champ. So I think it's a nice little litmus test for Fatu. Throw him in there, see how he does to see if he could potentially resurface and become a main event player in WWE.
Okay, so Gabe, let me go back to my notes because I did bust it open after dark on SiriusXM after Monday Night Raw. with the innovator of violence, Tommy Dreamer, and I'm trying to find out where my notes are for this. I got our notes from our WrestleMania show.
Okay. Well, while you're looking for that again, you can check out Jay Hood Sundays on SiriusXM Pro Wrestling Nation from 9 a.m. until noon Eastern. So I always check that out.
Must have been a different yellow pad. However, I'm just
too many notes. It's draft week. We're coming off of WrestleMania. There's just too much stuff to try to keep straight.
All this is our show and wrestling. That's all it is. Good karma wrestling stuff and the NFL draft. Okay, so I'll just go out the top of the dome. So the conversation I had with Tommy Dreamer is something that I did not know. We just watch wrestling. There's some information. If you get it, you kind of retain it. If not, you know. He was talking about how there was a difficulty for some Samoan or Tongan wrestlers to be able to get the type of money that they think they deserved under Vince McMahon or wherever in wrestling. And that there was a number of wrestlers, I don't know about Jimmy Snuka, but just like Tonga Kid and often Sika, there's some guys that were not paid well while they were on the wrestling circuit. It didn't matter what company, but definitely Vince. They felt like they didn't get paid. And he feels like it's coming full circle for Jacob Fatu. Remember the promo? He goes, man, I want to have my kids in nice schools, and I need that watch, and I need that shoe deal, and I need those cars, and I need that Learjet. And, you know, I don't know about you. I watched that promo. I go, are you jealous of Roman? Why would you say all that? But then Tommy explained it in a different way. He said, you know, there's a lot of small wrestlers that did not get their comeuppance financially, but Roman has. Probably more than any wrestler ever in wrestling. This is a Samoan wrestler, wrestler that's been able to get paid. And I mean, he's destined for Hollywood. We know all these things. And Jacob's like, well, I want that too. That's an interesting story if they get to that thread.
Yeah, I think so as well, because obviously his jealous. I guess I did not realize that history of Samoan wrestlers. And so I was not aware of that. But if that's something they explain, I just looked at it as, oh, Roman's the top guy, so he has all these things, and he was the top guy for, I mean, how many ever years and days that he was holding that championship, so that made sense. Like, Roman's, if he's not the highest paid, he's one of the highest paid guys in the entire company, right? And so that makes a ton of sense to me of, hey, why wouldn't you want that, especially when you see your family member? Like, hey, that's my cousin. I want what he has. I see, and he's obviously sprinkled a little of that to Jimmy and Jay. Hey, why can't I get a little bit of that? That makes sense. It's a simple little storyline, and backlash is going to be here before you know it, too.
Well, how come Roman didn't say, oh, did you need some money, and start digging into his pants and just like, hey, man, let me give you a little something here. Jimmy and Jay, I mean, does Jimmy and Jay seem paid off by Roman? I don't know.
I mean, obviously, over the years of being members of the Bloodline, like they were – you know, because they'd always come in. Like, Roman still comes in the, you know, the nice black SUV. And the Usos were a part of that. You know, obviously, you don't see that as much because that's just part of the Roman character. But at some point, they were getting a little something because of the Bloodline.
I just think it's just like family. Like, if you need some money, like, oh, if that's it, I'll go write your check. But now, I mean, the chicken shit heel would say, oh, if it's money that you need. And ultimately, Jacob said, after all those things, the litany of things that he wants from Roman, he needs that championship. It's going to be a hell of a match, I'll tell you that.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Hell of a match.
Yeah, I'm certainly looking forward to that. Number two this week on the three counts. So, again, leading into WrestleMania, not a lot of fans happy with some of it. And there was, I believe Dave Meltzer was talking about how Pat McAfee kind of withdrew himself and Jelly Roll kind of decided, hey, let's just get our thing. Let's be done with it. Let's get out of the way. So we're not lording over the main events of WrestleMania. And that's why it was booked the way it was booked. But TKO obviously put Pat McAfee in that main event, making his thoughts known in the run-up to WrestleMania. Certainly was Cody Rhodes. Couldn't quite understand what this guy was doing in his main events. And TKO has made it clear since the end of Mania until now that they are in charge of creative control. Yeah, Triple H is booking these shows, but if we want something done, we will get it done. How do you think fans should feel about TKO having creative control and very obviously willing to flaunt it whenever it suits them?
So from our sports expertise, does this not seem like Jerry Jones? Doesn't it? even though Jerry Jones also is a pseudo general manager of the Dallas Cowboys, it's like, hey, man, you got scouts. You should give it to your son, Steven. Like, that's kind of thing, right? Why flaunt that? Let's start from there. Why say that? First of all, that was a – we should mention that was a secret microphone in a classroom at Alabama, correct?
I believe so, yes.
That's because that was not a press conference. I think that they were talking to people and someone recorded that, and they put that on social media for everyone to hear. I believe that's how we were able to get that sound, because that was not – I didn't see any video. I just heard the audio, and I think someone recorded that and put it out there.
It was, so yes. It was at the University of Alabama. Mark Shapiro, who is the COO of TKO, said, first of all, TKO has complete control. What I will tell you is WWE is growing every way. It's really exploded. As far as the stars part of it, I don't think that's true kind of talking about some of the other questions that were asked. But yes, he said TKO has complete control, from Mark Shapiro, who is the COO.
Okay, so the way I feel about that is that you don't have to flaunt your power. And by the way, Gabe, based on what we saw in WrestleMania, we kind of already knew that. We know that they have creative control, but not across the board, not for every Raw, every SmackDown. That's just Nick Khan and TKO saying, here's a little sprinkle. Let's bring in all of these people that have a Netflix show, this comedian. Let's bring in this actor. Let's just add more star power because they want the WWE to be the NFL or the NBA as far as the stars, the crossover appeal of WWE with ESPN and the stars. That's what they're trying to do. So as far as the creative control side of things, though, it's like, of course, we already knew that. It shouldn't be, but we already knew. So that's not really news to me.
Yeah, it's the fact that he's just willing to say that. And again, whether or not he knew he was recorded or not, he said it in a public forum. It's not like he said it in a secret boardroom meeting and somebody recorded it there. You said it in front of a bunch of kids, fans at the University of Alabama. Like, that's like being able to say the quiet part out loud. Like, if he doesn't say this, do we know that TKO, obviously, with the way some of the things were booked in the run-up to WrestleMania, we know TKO can come in and kind of do whatever they want. But at the same time, you there's always a little bit of doubt in the back of your mind. Like, okay, how much can Triple H really push back as the chief creative officer of WWE? Like, how much say does Hunter have? And those questions exist. He just left no doubt. No, this is our show. We're going to do whatever the hell we want, is basically what he said. And that's put a lot of you don't have to put that type of pressure on yourself. Didn't have to do it. And you decided to do that because now all the fans that were already angry about ticket prices and running it back at Vegas instead of being in New Orleans and doing all these different things, like, just add it to the list. All right, creative sucks. Might not be Hunter's fault. Mark Shapiro might be telling him to do something that he doesn't want to do, but he has to because we all have bosses.
Well, this is why Vince McMahon will never be part of WWE under this leadership, because Vince McMahon never wanted a boss. He was the boss. Nope. He controlled all of it. So and this continues to be in different corners of wrestling. Oh, if you just bring Vince back, only if you bring Vince McMahon, if you feel like WWE is broken, Vince McMahon's he's not going to be the guy to fix it because he has bosses. I don't think he wants to work under that type of leadership where he's secondary or tertiary to WWE.
I mean, Vince wasn't open to others helping out with creative, right? Like, we had to deal with with the crappy creative that he had come up with, and Roman saying suffering succotash, and Corbin Burns being happy and sad, and all these different things. And like, I don't think he would take – if he was trying to book something to WrestleMania, and then all of a sudden somebody told him, hey, you got to have Pat McAfee in this main event angle, you think Vince would deal with that well? He would not.
Gabe, did you say Corbin Burns?
I did.
I think you did. You did, say Corbin Burns.
Well, because I didn't know if he was happy or sad. Was he happy, sad? He was lucky? He was he was changing characters more often than Big Show was going face to heel.
Baron Corbin.
Yeah.
That Corbin Burns of the Brewers.
Oh, Corbin. Oh, jeez.
Bring your dog in. Let my best friend. Get him in there. Put him on the mic. My God. Not Corbin Burns. Baron Corbin.
Yeah, okay. You know what? That's I've been doing our afternoon show all week this week. Getting ready for the draft. It's WrestleMania. Week. Listen, there's a lot of things going on.
I let it go the first time, but I'm like, I can't let him just say, Corbin Burns. I know who that is. But he was not, but you never called Corbin Burns Bum Corbin. Did you?
No, because he won a Cy Young for the Brewers. No, never right, did that. Thanks. Never. Oh my God. Oh, that's fantastic.
Corbin Burns.
Oh, I didn't even realize it the second. The best part is I didn't even realize it the second time when you're like, wait, what did you say? I'll give you a chance to correct yourself. No, I said it right, Hood.
It's so funny, man. It's just I'm just looking up a thing about Corbin Burns as a wrestler, see what that looks like. That's so great. But no, we know for sure. Oof. That Triple H has a boss, and everyone else in WWE's had a boss, and it's TKO. They've taken it over. And it shows you at WrestleMania that they've taken it over. But as long as they're not interfering on the day-to-day Raw and SmackDown, I'm totally fine with that. Because you saw what happened, the difference between WrestleMania 1 and WrestleMania 2. There was really no TKO influence in-ring with TKO. Celebrities, yes, but after Pat McAfee and Jelly Roll were done with what they had to do in night one, night two felt so much more like WWE than night one did.
Yeah, no, it really did. And I don't know how Jelly Roll always ends up being like the voice of reason here. Like, because the first time he wrestled, you know, they were going to put him over and he goes, no, right. I should lose this match. Because in which I love. And I don't blame, again, that whole thing got messy because I enjoy Pat McAfee. He is a little overexposed at times, but I think him in wrestling as a commentator, I've enjoyed it because he clearly has a passion for pro wrestling, but he's also somebody that hasn't dealt with criticism well in his career. Like anytime he gets criticized, like he just goes off on it on his show, right? Like if one person, I mean, he's gotten people fired, he's gotten his bosses fired at ESPN. Because he's, you know, they were critical of him, and him being a heel just was never going to work. Like he wasn't going to handle that situation well. And good on him and Jelly Roll for going like, hey, let's just get the hell out of the way. Like let's let these guys do what they're going to do in the main event. Let's try to get the hell out of the way. And of course, you know, Pat had to come back at the end through the angle that they were doing. But I appreciate them, at least Jelly Roll, being able to go, hey, I don't belong here. Let me get the hell out of the way. I appreciate that.
Why does it take someone like, and I know Jelly Roll's promos sound like he's been wrestling for 30 years, but my God, why does he have that kind of sage advice for WWE as someone who's an outsider? That tells you got problems with your creative when Jelly Roll's like, I'm not going to win this. I need to lose because of the story. It's crazy.
But again, I appreciate that he's got the wherewithal of like, no, this is not the way this should go, guys. Finally, in the three count, we dive into the world of AEW, where on Dynamite, pretty good Dynamite, but we have a couple of championship matches next week. Seems like we're just doing a world championship open challenge with Darby Allin. This week we got Tommaso Ciampa and just brutal, hard hitting, and Darby's just going to sign up and do one with Brody King next week. While you do have MJF trying to become the world champ again, and he was told, hey, don't come back and challenge Darby Allin unless you got something else that you're going to put on the line. Mm-hmm. Maybe he's got the TNT championship to put on the line because he is going one on one with Kevin Knight for that TNT championship next week. Is MJF the new TNT champ a week from today?
Yes, I think so. I felt bad for Kevin Knight because you're taking on the number one promo on AEW and you could not hang. That was tough. Mm-hmm. That was really tough on Kevin Knight. Kevin Knight, I think the first time around, did well with MJF, but this time it was not believable. And when you go in a promo battle with MJF and the champion, you have to have some zingers in your back pocket. I don't think he had that yesterday. So I think that he does win the championship unless Darby Allin interferes. But I don't necessarily see that, though, because Darby Allin is
he's going to be getting ready for Brody King.
Faces. Yeah. And by the way, speaking of that, can I just say something?
Sure.
You are the world's heavyweight champion. How come some of these champions feel like they're the TV champion? Does the world champion have to wrestle every week?
No.
Listen, you can wrestle one week. And again, that matchup against Tommaso Ciampa last night in Portland was awesome. But now the next week I need a promo or that great video package or something else like that, right? Because to me, it's about building the character. If you've ever seen Darby Allin before, here's a video package, which that was awesome last night. But it doesn't mean that he's the TV champion. He's got to be out there every week defending the championship. What you're doing is that you are going over the top. You increase your chances of getting hurt or more hurt. And so why do that? Keep the champion special, but then keep rolling them out there every week.
Well, because like the spot they did last night, and again, I appreciate that Darby's willing to put his body on the line for entertainment.
Yeah.
But like, and I forget what Tommaso calls it, but it's basically Sheamus's white noise, right? He's got Darby on his back, and then he jumps from the turnbuckle to the outside. Man. And it's like, we're doing this on a Wednesday night? Like, what are we doing here? Again, I appreciate this is awesome, but I mean, I don't think we need to be doing this each and every week. But that's just apparently what Darby Allin wants. He's going to keep going and do it every week. And again, creatively, I don't know if that diminishes the world championship instead of having somebody like MJF as the heel coming out in the suit with the scarf. He's got the championship over his shoulder and he's cutting a promo running somebody down. Darby's not the strongest promo. He's good in short spurts. Probably can't go out there for a 10-minute segment on a promo, but
right.
I mean, it's because it's going to be brutal next week against Brody King.
What's he
going to do? Go up against Roosh next? Like, come on, man. Yeah. Give yourself a break.
He's the AEW World Heavyweight TV champion because he's got to go out there every week to prove that he's good. You're the world champion. My point, Gabe, is you're the world champion. You don't need to wrestle every week. We already know you're good. Now, listen. For me, I would have not put the championship on him on WrestleMania week. Just because you are in rural Seattle doesn't mean that he should have been the champion. Mm-hmm. Now, he said on the record to Ariel Helwani that he didn't want to be the world champion. But for Tony Khan, it's like, oh, you're going to your hometown. You should win the world championship. Okay, but MJF was on a roll. Why does MJF have to go back, double back, have the championship, have a great match against Kenny Omega, but lose in 4 minutes to Darby Allin, only to win it again? I don't like the championship being a hot potato. I don't like that. I don't. MJF as champion was giving you ratings, if you believe in those ratings, attendance, if you believe in attendance and all those numbers. To me, MJF should have been champion right into London and then lose it to Ospreay.
And I guess I don't care about those numbers as much as AEW probably does because that's a lot of their revenue stream. What I cared about is it gave us really good creative. It was giving us fun stories. Guys were lining up to take on MJF. And there's still people in that line that just kind of disappear, I guess, now. I don't know. See? And so my guess is that he wins the TNT Championship next week, offers to put it on the line, and then we've got TNT champ versus world champ. Yeah, I don't know if it's a ladder, Matt. You put them up both on a ladder, or there's going to be some sort of stipulation to it because Darby Allin's a crazy person, and MJF has like wrestled secretly. MJF is too because he's wrestled in like all these crazy matches, like with high stipulations in his AEW career. So there'll probably be some stipulation match when they're in New York for Double or Nothing. MJF comes out on top, and then he'll go into London as the champ, but then probably lose again. If you're going to give it to Ospreay, so. Which was another really weird angle last night of Ospreay, a really good match with Mark Davis.
Yeah.
But they, I thought they told a good story and the doctor comes, checks out Ospreay and says, nope, he can't continue. So Davis gets the win, only for Ospreay to then be saved by the Death Riders.
What does that mean? And where do they take him?
Yeah, that's the question. Did they kidnap him? I don't know. A lot of questions.
If you kidnapped him, his wife, I think, was on the card last night, too. Or his girl, his fiance was on the card. So did she drive home solo? Did she fly home by herself? So ridiculous, man. And by the way, it's the boy that cried wolf when it comes to Will Ospreay. So every week they're damaging his neck or working on his neck, but he keeps coming back the next week. What does that say? So are you not really hurt? Do you like the pain? Which is it?
It's going to be interesting to see the direction they go there. Because again, we've talked about the Death Riders. Are they heels? Are they baby faces? Do they just exist? And I'm not quite sure what Will Ospreay has to do with that, but we'll guess we'll have to continue to find out when it comes to AEW. We move on and take a look at some of the other news and notes happening throughout the world of professional wrestling. Where we start is Triple H. So the documentary for Hulk Hogan coming out, and we find out as a part of the run-up to that, that Triple H addressed the talent saying, hey, obviously Hulk Hogan, and it's kind of the conversation we had here on GKW when it happened, like, Terry Bollea had some problems, and he's a problematic person, but you can't deny the impact that Hulk Hogan had on professional wrestling. And that's kind of what Triple H said, and said, hey, no heat on you. If you don't want to be out on the stage for the 10 bell salute, I get it, but this is what we're doing. If you don't want to be a part of it, you don't have to be a part of it. And I thought that was pretty fair by Hunter.
I thought it was too. I'm not going to watch that documentary, but I have seen clips, Gabe, and Triple H came as close as anyone telling the truth about, yeah, I understand why some people booed Hogan. It's because of his racism, lies, the way he treated his daughter at the end. Like, there's a lot of things. And the one thing that a wrestling fan does not want is to be jerked around. Because so many people believed in Hogan, they say your prayers, eat your vitamins, all that stuff, right? And it's amazing. Even today, people live by the Hogan doctrine based on wrestling promos. That's how deep wrestling goes. Think about that, Gabe. Everything that he was saying promos across the country, right? There's like, yep, I'm going to live like Hogan. I'm going to work out, and I'm going to eat right, and I'm going to say my prayers and eat my vitamins. And like, they're still doing it today. Despite all of the lies and all the stuff, I don't care about what direction that he leans politically. I didn't care about that. Him spending time on Fox and Friends, that makes no difference to me. You do what you want to do politically, but when you start lying to the fans, that's the big issue. And Triple H understood that. However, Jimmy Hart was like, yeah, we're in California. It's blue state, baby. Why that happened.
No, because if we're talking about politics, and if we're talking left, right, whatever, Undertaker's probably one of the most political people in, like, for WWE. Like, he's been open, talked about it, you know, supporting, you know, died in the wool Republican. Like, he is deep. Sure. Every time you hear his music hit, what happens? Doesn't matter if they're California, doesn't matter where they are, right?
Yeah.
People are cheering for the Taker. And so, again, that to me proves that your theory is 100% correct. Yeah. Meanwhile, in an interview, Ric Flair saying he was not invited to WrestleMania because apparently he threatened to beat up Ludwig Kaiser after the whole Tiffany Stratton, Charlotte Flair incident. Said he threatened to beat up a 25-year-old. Ludwig, by the way, is in his 30s. He's not a 25-year-old kid.
Right.
I think that's worth noting. And he also was like critical of Hunter at different points during this interview. And then I don't know if he realizes that Ludwig is El Grande Americano, because then he went on to praise, speaking of the Undertaker's job as the head of creative for AAA. So kind of like typical Ric Flair interview where he was just all over the place.
Rick's out of the loop. And that's what it is. And he's just pissed off that he was not invited to WrestleMania, which goes to ask me the question, is he not still under contract with AEW? Yes or no?
Because just a couple of weeks ago, he was like, well, WWE said I can't work with Roots of Fight, the clothing apparel line anymore, because WWE recently announced that they're going to be doing some stuff with Roots of Fight. So Flair couldn't anymore. And I assume that's because of his AEW ties. And then he was said how thankful he was for Tony Khan. And yeah, who the hell knows with Rick, man? Who the hell knows?
I don't know.
I think Sean Ross Sapp, I think, said it best on Twitter yesterday. Ric Flair is the worst source of Ric Flair news.
It's a great line.
That's a great line. That was a great line. Meanwhile, so we know that WrestleMania 43 is going to be in Saudi Arabia next year, but we also found out the city of Nashville, oh, so close to being able to get that. and maybe it's still a possibility. Who the hell knows what's going on with the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia and some of the other, again, newsy stuff where they're pulling with, you know, reportedly going to be with pulling funding from LIV Golf if they still have interest in WrestleMania 43, if they're going to completely kind of readjust the way that they're spending their money. But Nashville apparently was in line and almost hosted WrestleMania 43 until Saudi Arabia came around.
Nissan Stadium, right?
Yes.
Okay. Love Nashville, great city. And I'm sure they're in the back burner for maybe a SummerSlam or WrestleMania down the line. But Nashville, yeah. It's a great city. Great. It's a growing city too. I don't know. I know there's a lot of bars and restaurants on Broadway. Can they handle the pressure of, you know, all those fans going to Nashville for WrestleMania? I guess we'll find out soon.
Yeah. And finally, in news and notes, AEW reportedly going to be adding a pay-per-view between Forbidden Door and All In. They trademarked AEW Redemption. So apparently AEW Redemption coming your way between Forbidden Door and their big show in London with All In.
So what's the fascination with that? Is there a special stips there? Is there a feature on that show? Okay.
No idea.
It's another pay-per-view.
Couldn't tell you. Okay. Just the name of the pay-per-view.
Okay.
That's just what it is. Redemption. All right, quickly, Hood, what did you have? Matches of the week.
Well, we could start with what we saw in AEW from Portland last night. I thought that, Will Ospreay took a beating yesterday, and it ends up losing by referee or doctor stoppage. Mark Davis, man, was unbelievable. He was a monster. There's a reason why Don Callis was cackling throughout the entire broadcast. I guess he knew that he was going to actually win for once. So that's one. Obviously, Darby Allin against Tommaso Ciampa. It's going to be the match of the week. Blood on a Wednesday night, huh? Blood on a Wednesday night. It happened, and it was a tremendous match.
Not even just a little bit of blood, just full crimson mask for Tommaso. Who, again, still has the best, for my money, entrance music going in the game today. Love it when he is coming down to the ring, lights go out, all that. And then, again, I guess if we're still doing, you know, WrestleMania, the main event from Sunday night, I thought was fantastic. To the point where, like, even Roman knew how good it was and, you know, had the post on social media along the lines of, you know, I still hate you, but no one can deny the magic that you know, we had together in that ring. So that was, again, Punk, Roman, fantastic way to close out WrestleMania weekend.
Yeah, top 10 WrestleMania match of all time for me, because someone's got to be 10.
And we honestly, I think it's been a while since we probably could have had a submission into that top 10 list.
Yeah.
And that one, yeah, just a straight up one-on-one match with no interference. A Triple H match with no interference? Pretty darn good.
Enjoyed it.
Check out everything we've got. YouTube.com/@GoodKarmaWrestling. Again, a lot of great WrestleMania content over there. AEW, WWE. AEW, again, getting closer and closer to Double or Nothing. WWE, they're getting close to Backlash. So many things to talk about. We'll talk about it next week right here on GKW.
Corbin Burns.